Bro, what's up?
Dude, just watching the dating game.
Right on. Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one weird lizard, rich people, flesh orgy podcast in all of high society. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by Jason Razor Babes, Frizz Babe. From Pluto to Uranus, we underground famous for doom.
Ain't 808 bass booms in your face. Hey.
That's the most appropriate response to that music.
Isn't it, though? I mean, what else... I don't know what to say. Like, I don't have Faygo with me. I'm not Juggalo Fresh. I don't know if that's a thing. But
I assume it is.
Yeah, that's what I play when I'm rolling down the street.
You're lying. We're also joined this week by Greg from Hide the Bodies. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Excellent. Hide the Bodies are the sweet dudes who are doing the junk food dinner shirt, which everybody should buy. Are you going to buy the shirt, Jason Frisbee?
I don't see how I can get out of it, so yes. It's a send-up to Slumber Party Massacre, if I'm not mistaken, right?
You are correct. That's one of the coolest movies we've done on Junk Food Dinner.
Plus, it's got Julian Sands looking pretty fine.
He's being protected by me, just like he would be in real life.
That shirt was drawn by Paul Krim, who's dating Melissa Saner, which is one of the lady at work, so... Yes. Artist credit to Paul Krim. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, it's so good. I love everything about the shirt, and I love Paul for doing it.
Yeah, he did a really sweet job on that.
And there's also, you guys were nice enough to send us some sweet Saved by the Bell shirts. Very, very cool looking, kind of scratchy sketch of the Saved by the Bell crew. And also another complimentary shirt. The one I got was... A woman crying cats, which
yeah,
is comfortable too. Parker, what did you end up getting?
I got the Saved by the Bell in the Total Recall with the three boobs that my wife doesn't like when I wear.
Yeah, these shirts, as I was telling Parker when we got them, represent us perfectly. Like, of course, I'm going to get a girl crying cats, because not only is that something that I totally enjoy, but I think that reflects my personality a little bit better than the three boobs from... Total Recall, which Parker is obsessed with.
Mm-hmm. It's because you make girls cry, because you're a heartbreaker.
I make them cry cats, because I do it over the internet.
Mm-hmm. You break those hearts over the internet every Friday on Pool Party Radio.
Yeah, and we got a couple of new ones in the store. I did one called the Raccoonogram, and it's a like a Baphomet goat head star, but instead of a goat, it's a kind of a cute raccoon.
I don't know too much about the ins and outs of the workings of this place, but it seems like a magical place in that the people there listen to this program and are willing to make a junk food dinner shirt. So it seems like the best place on earth. It seems like sort of like a utopia to me.
I mean, it's me and my friend Alex and our boss Paul and Melissa, and I don't know. We just listen to podcasts, and sometimes we watch Dr. Phil and listen to Slayer. my boss has been in a bunch of bands, and there's been a bunch of like metal dudes that used to work at the shop, so there's just death metal stuff everywhere. Like, there's posters and stickers like fucking all over the place, and it's, I don't know, it's kind of a wild place to work. Like, I don't know, it's a good time.
It does sound magical.
I like it a lot.
And this is up in Chester, right?
Chester, New York. If United States were Skyrim, like, we'd be up in solitude. Or, like, in a little small town. Well, it's the third largest city in New York State, but we're, like, right on, like, Lake Ontario there, between Syracuse and Buffalo.
Okay. Yeah, I actually know where Syracuse is. And family up in Utica and all that stuff. We actually drove up there to Plattsburgh for a wedding, and we thought it'd be awesome to go to Quebec. Like, I don't know. A couple of meters in, because we forgot that it'd be in meters, we realized it was a terrible idea. Like, we didn't know how to speak French or anything. So we turned around. Unsuccessful family trips. That's what happened.
It's for the best. Those French people are dickheads.
Seriously, yeah. Why would you go to Montreal? Or going to Quebec, never mind.
Why would you do that?
Sounds like a terrible place to go. I've sort of been around that area before. I went to Niagara Falls once and went to the worst haunted house I've ever been to. But I also went to the cool WWE store that was there. And they had a bunch of Stone Cold items, and that was cool.
Does that haunted house go underground in Niagara Falls?
No, it was, like, real shitty. Like, it looked cool from the outside because there was, like, this spray-painted mural of, like, Freddy and Jason and Chucky and everybody like this. And then when you get inside, they take, like, $30 from you. And then it's, like, the haunted house is just a tiny little room with, like, a lot of cardboard and smoke. And it takes about 3 minutes to get through it. It's the worst thing.
To go along with that, it seems like any time Freddy Krueger is involved in the kind of set design of a haunted house, it's never going to live up to the expectation of actually having Freddy Krueger in that haunted house. Like, we did that Freddy Krueger corn maze years ago. Remember this?
I do remember this.
And that one wasn't bad. Like, there were parts of it that looked atmospherically very cool. Like, they put those wooden planks down, and it's that tilled ground, so it's all uneven. And it was not very well lit, which was... But then there was just some stuff that wasn't that scary, I remember. Although I was clinging to the back of your hoodie the entire time.
Yeah, I remember you being a little bit scared.
Yeah, I was kind of Freddy Cats for a little bit.
That's adorable.
Freddy is scary.
No but he wasn't there. I don't remember him there.
No, well, maybe it was a different one. The year that we went was the year that I went to like 30 different haunted houses for the newspaper.
Yeah.
But I think it was that one. Maybe it was a different one where they had like everybody was dressed up like Freddy. And like it just stopped being scary after a while because there's so many Freddies and it just didn't even make sense.
Like, makes sense though. Because with like any nightmare movie, there's going to be multiple Freddies at some point. Like, he duplicates himself, and he's everywhere at once. So, I'm not saying it has to be like Freddy's on parade, but, yeah, every time you turn a corner, it's likely that you'd see Freddy if you were, like, having a nightmare or something.
That's true. That's what my dreams are like, kind of. But I don't know, I just think it should be a rule that if you've got a haunted house, you're only allowed to have one Freddy, and you're only allowed to have one Jason. I don't like when
me,
they go
baby. Before. This Jason.
Only one Jason Frisbee.
I got my thumbs pointing at myself.
I'm going to open a haunted house here in town where, like, all the scary stuff is just you. Like, dudes in masks of you.
Yeah, that'd probably be terrifying.
Well, it's going to be...
I think so.
It's going to be one of those Christian haunted houses. And you go into a room, and then it's you choosing for girls if they can have abortions or not.
I did not see this coming at all. I probably should have, considering that it's all you've been talking about for the past couple of weeks.
It's all I've been talking about, not even on the show. I sit around in bed with my wife and tell her about how great the country would be if only Frisbee had the right to choose.
And then when she's not around, you say it to Kepi.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I gotta make some of those pins for you guys.
That would be great.
I'm making some for a show that I'm doing next month. So maybe we can make that happen.
That would be great. I think things would really catch on like wildfire once people got pins. People really only pay attention to the politics that come with a pin or like a placard of some sort. So I think once we have that, like, this will really catch on.
Yeah, then you're legit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how you know it's legit. But you said you're doing a show next month?
Oh, I think I'm either doing a Dr. Sketchies or a gallery opening, but...
I like galleries. Speaking of galleries, I'm going to let you introduce this, Mr. Frisbee. We're going to do the good, the bad, and the ugly next. And this good, the bad, and the ugly is sort of the love child of Mr. Frisbee. So I'll let you introduce what we're doing here.
With the good, bad, the ugly, this year we noticed that there's quite a few sequels coming out. Some good, some bad. And it's pause for reflection in the coming storm. We're going to have awesome shit like Iron Man 3. And then some questionable stuff.
Hey, don't give any... What are you doing? You're giving out spoilers of what's going on. You can't say that Iron Man 3 is coming out. What if it's on my list? You're spoiling my whole list.
Well, I thought these were good, the bad, the uglies of movies that we were familiar with.
Yeah, but you can't give spoilers.
Okay, well, start over again.
No, let's not even start over. Let's just keep that and keep going.
Okay, well, I feel like I'm walking on eggshells now. This is bizarre. So
you just can't list the movies because then that's spoilery.
So there are films that are in existence and may be in existence this coming year that are fun and questionable, and we must pause and reflect on the sequels from yesteryear. Oh, I feel awkward now. Like that.
I like rape.
Who's saying that?
Who do we have here?
That's my intern, sorry.
That's understandable.
No. It sounds like an insult in 8 or 9,000.
I think that guy was a guest on our show once.
No. No. Continue.
Well, we have lists. He's Good, the Bad, the Ugly, the list. If you listened to the show before, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly consists of a good category, a bad category, and the ugly category, which can just be something that's misunderstood, weird, or funky, dumb, or just unusual. So we're going to present our Good, the Bad, the Ugly for sequels.
That are coming out this year.
Okay. Hold on a second. Then I need to readjust my list because I was putting this out for shit that was already seen.
I thought we were doing the ones from that list that you sent us.
I was just saying that we're going to be talking about movies from this coming year, and that would be like the lead in to talking about good sequels from the past used. But I can pull some from that. Like, I have the email up, so just give me a moment.
I see. How did you make your list, Greg? Did you think it was from just the coming year, or did you do sequels from
I just did ones that were coming out in 2013.
Yeah, me too. I thought that's what you wanted to do, Mr. Frisbee.
Or so this website would have me believe.
That's fine. I can actually...
You are now tuned into the Pod Awful channel. PodAwful.net.
After severe mind wipe, I am finally back with what we had planned. So here's the Good and the Bad and the Ugly of sequels for the coming year. I guess I'll start us off with our good category. For my good, I was kind of split on two films, but ultimately I'm a bit more excited about the Star Trek Into Darkness film. For a number of reasons, I like the first Star Trek reboot or alternate timeline or whatever you want to call it. I thought he did a nice job with it. I realized that J.J. Abrams isn't that bad of a director with this kind of stuff. And Benedict Cumberbatch, probably Parker's arch nemesis by virtue of his very British sounding name. Also your best friend because he does the excellent Sherlock TV series.
That's true. And he's smug. On paper, I would totally hate Benedict Cumberbatch, but in real life, I love him because he's good at acting.
And so I'm looking forward to him being good in this. There's been a couple of throw arounds about who he's playing in this film. When news of the film was first coming out, people were like, okay, this has got to be Wrath of Khan because there were some scenes that looked like Khan that they were showing in the trailer. Now, I think they're going back to somebody from the Academy. So they've actually kept leaks from leaking about what this film is going to be about, what the story is. Plus, the alternate timeline kind of allows some wiggle room to experiment with previous characters. I thought it was going to be like Pike or something, but I forgot that Pike was actually the guy who gets who gets Kirk to join Starfleet in the predecessor to this flick. So I'm interested in seeing it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. My backup. Well, I'll see if one of you mention it, actually.
Yeah, I also like that first Star Trek movie. I don't know anything about Star Trek in general, other than I like that episode where Kirk fights that monster at Vasquez Rocks, because I really want to go there now that I live near L.A. And that's really all I know about Star Trek, but I like that movie, and this one looks pretty good. So I'm on board with this pick, Mr. Frisbee.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Star Trek either. I knew when I was a kid, it was always between you were either Star Trek or you were Star Wars, and Star Wars had cooler looking monsters, so I'm going to Star Wars. Excuse me, Aliens.
This is true. That guy in the lizard suit is probably still at Vasquez Rocks, Parker. Is that why you want to go there?
Yeah, I want to meet him.
Yeah, he's He is dorky looking when you compare him to he's kind of dorky looking when you compare him even to like a Jawa or something. A Jawa, even though it's short, doesn't do a lot, looks a little bit cooler. Was even on a Neil Young tour movie as Road Eyes or something. So, yeah, but I've been getting into Star Trek in a pretty big way lately, watching Next Generation and all this stuff, and yeah, I just like the first film, so it should be good.
Yeah, I think that's probably why I never got into Star Trek, is because I don't like their aliens, because, like, oh, here's your big alien, here's a guy with pointy ears, and he's an alien. Oh, here's your other aliens, they're brown. Oh, you're so creative.
Yeah, but then there's, like, more room for sexy times. Yeah, like, I realized watching part of a marathon of film going on Martin Luther King Day. For some reason, I think it was AMC was showing a marathon of Star Trek films on Martin Luther King Day. Not sure why, but I was into it.
I think it's obvious why.
Yeah, they had the black guy.
Yeah, that's what yeah.
And also those guys, those Star Trek guys, they were just going around looking for, peace between everybody and stuff like that.
But here's the presumptuous thing. Like, there is, like, this racial element to Star Trek, or maybe it's, like, a species element, rather, of people trying to get along. And I agree with you on that. But it makes this huge presumption of, at least in the Next Generation, of all aliens being pretty much just like humans, except their skulls are kind of different. So it's like all the parts are there. They all have 10 fingers, 10 toes, about 5 to 6 feet in height, have facial hair. It's like, I get that there's billions of planets, but there probably would be more of like a race akin to like Star Wars, where you have beasts of all kinds, or even like Futurama, where you have like gel monsters and stuff.
Yeah, you can make a Twi'lek probably if you shape the baby's skull.
Yeah. Or a Ferengi. Ferengis kind of look like big babies with jagged teeth and stuff.
Yeah, I'm certain that when we finally come across aliens, like, they're going to look pretty different from us. They're not just going to be like us, but, like, their skin is a little bit blue.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't like Star Trek.
But if you like, you like World of Warcraft, which differentiates to a degree with, like, trolls and art. This is getting real fucking nerdy, man. I just realized I said I'm comparing Star Trek to World of Warcraft in a very legitimate manner. I have to stop myself.
And I know what you're talking about. I played WoW for 6 years.
Okay, thank you. Then I'll keep going. Because, like, the characters aren't that much different. You have a blood elf, you have a night elf, or you have a regular elf, or whatever. And then you have a human who kind of looks like an elf. And then you have what is it? Not a dwarf. Troll. Dwarf. Yeah, it's a dwarf. Who's just like a human, but shorter. And loves to mine for some reason. So,
you only played that game for like 45 minutes. You don't know shit about Warcraft, Frisbee. And I don't appreciate this.
Well, I played old school Warcraft. It's not World of, but I remember, say what?
Played the RTS version.
Exactly. Like I was racing the clock to harvest as much, timber and gold as possible.
All right. I take back what I said. I apologize for being so hasty.
Okay. Well, anyway, there's just small differences between those species and everything. And it comes to a point where if you're more interested in that, then you'll be interested in Star Trek, because they have pretty compelling storylines about diplomacy and how you have to make the best decision in situations that don't allow for really good decisions. Anyway, I've been talking about this way too fucking long. Parker.
And I'll deal with you nerds later.
My good is Machete Kills. This is the new Machete movie with Danny Trejo. I like the first one a great deal. And I like the prospect of this one, as it has every single one of my favorite actors. William Sadler is in it. Mostly just William Sadler, I guess. I like Amber Heard a little bit, and she's in there, and Sofia Vergara. And so, I don't know, I'm excited. I thought the first one was pretty great, and I'm excited for the second one, and I hope it does well, because Robert Rodriguez has apparently said that if they do a third one, it's going to be Machete in space. And that sounds awesome.
That's amazing. That's a page out of Thanksgiving 3.
You got that right.
I thought number 3 was always in the hood. Or is that
Now it's like they don't go to the hood until way later. Leprechaun went there in like number 6 or something, or 5.
But he went twice, right?
Yeah, he did go twice. It was so successful that he had to go twice.
The hood's so nice, he had to visit twice.
Yeah, which is like a first in horror movie franchises.
And then probably Jason, last, too.
Yeah, Jason went, he didn't go until like number 8. Like, people, they avoid the hood. They usually go to space before the hood. Oddly enough.
Because it's cheaper? Why? I don't know.
I think movie executives just think that space is less weird than the hood. Like, they go, we gotta send this guy into progressively more weird places in the sequels. So we'll go to space next, and then after that we'll go to a low-income housing. That just sounds absurd, doesn't it? We're rich executives.
Well, I'm also excited for Machete Kills. That was my backup. For much of the same reasons you mentioned. The first one, surprisingly great. What, you had like De Niro, Don Johnson, Lindsay Lohan? Like, just a really interesting casting put together. Like, these people actually are talented to some degree, and I thought it was interesting seeing them all kind of compiled in weird situations and shootouts and all this good stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, everybody you mentioned and Lady Gaga, this is going to be, it'll be an interesting film. I'm pretty excited for it.
I agree. And Jeff Fahey from Lost was in the first one. He was my favorite character from Lost because he played the character of Lupinus, which I find hilarious. But that's a guy's name.
Was that in Lost?
Yep.
And, yeah.
He's one of the guys.
I watched Lost.
Yeah, he's one of the guys that showed up in, like, season 4. Because they were like, hey, the show's boring. Let's just bring in a bunch of new characters, despite the fact that this whole show is about how these people are completely out of range of any new characters, and that's why they can't get off the goddamn island. Hey, but you know how it is. Whatever happened. You know, whatever's good.
I made it into season 5 of that show, and I just tapered off.
Yeah, I gave up somewhere around there and then watched the last episode, which was pretty god-awful. But what is your good sequel, Greg?
Oh, my good. I had Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. I really liked the first Sin City. I never read the comic books, but yeah, I thought it was pretty sweet how like I watched this movie and then like the visual style was great, and like I remember like after I saw it, like thinking back about the movie, I remembered it like a comic book, and like I don't think I've seen any other movies like that. It like had such a cool visual style. But anyway, Mickey Rourke's gonna be in it again. That's sweet.
That's wild.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt will be there, I've heard.
Of course.
I like him.
And Brittany Murphy was in the first one, and you know, now she's dead and stuff.
Oh yeah,
it'd be cool to see. And I heard they started shooting the second one, and then she died. So maybe they'll like try to like Ed Wood her into it or something.
That's possible.
Weird.
Or they'll do that Dr. Parnassus movie with her, and they'll just get like some other attractive broad to fill her place.
Where are they gonna find another hot blonde in Hollywood?
I know.
That's yeah.
They're going to have to do, like, an American Idol-like search to find one. But yeah, I like the first one of this quite a bit. And this one is apparently has a lot to do with Dwight, who is my favorite character from the first one and from, like, the 2 comics I've read of the series. So I'm excited for that as well.
Same here. When you mentioned the visual style and how you left, even though you hadn't read the comic, you felt like you just read a comic or that it was pretty faithful to it. And it was, that first Sin City was, and I expect more from this one. Actually, I remember seeing this film with, guest and longtime friend of the show, Jono. And he would not be quiet. He would not shut up about how much he was appreciative of the fact that Sin City was like a shot for shot remake of the comic book. Like, he was yelling to the crowd, they finally did it! They finally made a good comic book movie! They finally did it! His girlfriend was trying to calm him down.
turned around in the theater and gave him a Fonzie look.
Yeah, yeah, I did. But, it was good. Yeah, he was very excited with good reason. So, this is also a good pick.
Yeah, one time I went to the movie theater with Jono. And it was when I worked there, and we all went to go see Finding Nemo, because I got in for free, so we saw everything. And we went with this girl who, like, kind of liked me and stuff, but she was, like, kind of a weirdo. And her little brother who had autism. And Jono, being Jono, like, we were watching the movie and stuff, and he would, like, look over and talk to me and stuff. And he noticed, like, the kid with autism was sitting way down, you know, at the other end, like, from Jono. And, like halfway through the movie or something, Jono realized that this kid was, like, looking intensely at the screen, as a kid with autism might do. And, you know, like, the kid was, like, just so into it, like, he wouldn't take his eyes off of it. And so Jono started making fun of him for being so into Finding Nemo, because he was, like, 15 at the time, so Jono thought it was funny that, like, a 15-year-old would be so into the movie. It was, like, just the most awkward, terrible thing, because Jono was like, look at this kid over here. Look at how much he loves it. And, like, I tried to, like, play it cool, you know, like, to tell Jono to shut up without having to blurt out, he's got autism! He's a freak! It didn't work. So for, like, 20 minutes, Jono was just like, look at him. Look at this kid. He loves it.
And then he said, but my wife is dead. And he said, I fucked your dead wife. And then Kramer burst in.
I don't understand your reference.
He had a very Seinfeldian moment, is what I'm saying. Like, you could have just said, hey, easy. He's into the film because he has autism. But you let it ride. Like, you didn't want to get... You didn't want to make it more awkward, but it escalated it that way anyway.
Yeah, well, I thought that just saying, hey, shut up, would have, you know, worked. With any other person who wasn't Jono, it would have worked.
Yeah.
But, so what's your bad then, Mr. Frisbee?
Far and away, Grown Ups 2. I have no desire to see this film. It's Adam Sandler hanging out with David Spade and Rob Schneider, I'm guessing. And Taylor Lautner's in it also.
Oh, that doesn't even make sense.
Nope, it doesn't. So that's why I'm not going to be seeing it. Did anybody see the first one?
No, I haven't seen any of these movies.
Me neither.
I remember seeing a preview for, the first Grown Ups. And I forget where it was. I think it was like on, I think it was like some sort of foreign programming, like some sort of, what was it? Like Spanish television?
Mm-hmm.
Mexico. And they showed the preview and it was just like a few short scenes. And then all of a sudden it's just this repeated loop of Adam Sandler falling on his nutsack on that tightrope.
That sounds pretty funny though.
It was funny how they were like trying to just say like, we gave up on this trailer. Here's Adam Sandler falling on his balls. Just again and again and again. It was like that, Idiocracy thing. Ouch, my balls.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it was like. It was very absurd. It was so absurd that it was funny, but didn't make me want to see the movie. I was like, well, I just got the best part. This is all I need to see.
I actually have a terrible thing to confess to you guys.
You've seen this movie and you loved it.
No, but I was flipping through the channels the other day and Jack and Jill was on, the Adam Sandler movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I just watched it for like 10 seconds. But the 10 seconds I saw was a scene where Jill kicked an old lady in the face, an old Mexican lady. And then to revive the old lady, they stuck a bunch of hot peppers in her mouth. And that made me laugh so hard.
So, did you laugh at how genuinely comedic it was, or were you laughing at how ridiculous it was?
No, it was super funny. Like, they put, like, two huge peppers in her mouth, and they kind of look like, I don't know, it was just absurd to see. It was just so funny. It was funny looking. It was like this nice old lady with huge peppers in her face. And so, based on the 10 seconds I saw of that movie is 100% funny.
I don't want to know you anymore. Hey, we're through.
It's a secret. I told you a secret.
Playful secrets.
You should have told me in confidence. In confidence that I would not want to hear this about you.
Hey, I'll send you the clip. We'll see how hard you laugh.
All right. Well, you were right about Roller Town. That movie was fucking great.
Yeah, man, the movie's so good.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, it's so funny.
Is that on the Netflix?
It is on the Netflix.
All right.
Yeah, I saw it on your junk food dinner list on the junk food dinner website.
It made my top 10 movies of the year. on junkfooddinner.com, which is where you can buy the new Junk Food Dinner t-shirt.
It's true.
It's a very nice t-shirt.
$12.
$12.
$12.
You sold all those shirts. Where's my percentage?
Hey, Muhammad.
How the hell are you?
Doing fine. How about yourself?
Okay.
He's always in such a great mood.
I know. He's such a nice guy.
Very affable.
So, I guess it's my turn for the bad. Yep. I'm going with the Hunger Games Part 2. I didn't care for the Hunger Games Part 1. I thought it was, despite being about kids killing each other, it was wicked boring, and all the action sucked because it was just a dude shaking a camera around. Like he, like the way you do when you, you know, collect, like a bumblebee in one of those little plastic eggs you get out of the machines at Kroger. Yeah, you get a bumblebee in there and you shake it around to torture the bee. That's what the camera work was like, and it sucked. And everything about the movie sucked, aside from Woody Harrelson and Jennifer Lawrence. And so I'm not really excited about Part 2, although I hear that the plot from Part 2 is a lot cooler. It's about overthrowing the government, which is something I'm pretty cool with, so it might be better than the first one, but if it's not better than the first one, it's going to suck. The first one sucked.
In Hunger Games 2, is that when one of the kids dies, like one of the other kids' heads explodes? Like maybe like on a Wave Runner.
That would be pretty cool. I'd be interested in seeing that movie.
See what I did there?
I like it.
The first one was pretty hard to watch in some regards. The camera work was pretty bad. Like it seemed like it was going to be a good thing, but then it was just too much.
I agree. What is your bad, Greg?
Oh, my bad is Paranormal Activity 5.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Those movies are just so ubiquitous. Like, I saw the first two, and they were basically the same movie. So I only assume the fourth one is the same way, and probably the fifth one. And And then I just think they're just gonna keep making these. And I don't feel like I should see it.
And I'm going to cry my eyes out. When Paranormal Activity beats Saw in most sequels for a horror franchise, for a modern horror franchise, because that means that Saw Fan 666 might not exist anymore. He'll be usurped by Paranormal Activity Fan XXX or something. And it's going to be it'll be a real bummer. Nowhere near as funny.
Well,
no more talk about hot dogs and beefing up to be strong and just be some kid who's, I don't know, probably listens to real depressing music or dubstep. Probably dubstep.
Yeah. Well, they've still got a ways to go. There are 7 Saws. And there's probably going to be more. So there's a ways to go still. But yeah, these movies are pretty stinky. It's all the same stuff. I saw the first three.
Don't they all take place in like these big palatial homes too?
Yeah, just the hugest houses.
Yeah, like, would it be funny if they did one, like, that happened to, like, some broke-ass kid who lived in, like, a 430-square-foot apartment?
Yeah.
Like Silent Hill 4 or something.
Oh, yeah, the room.
Which was scary as shit, actually.
Definitely. Like, they would need to have holes in the walls. Yeah, I never actually saw the first one all the way through. We were talking about riff tracks before the show. And I did watch the riff tracks for Paranormal Activity, which is probably why I got through it. But it doesn't feel like it's really making use of being enclosed in a space very much. So you might actually be onto something here. If they did want an apartment, there might be more like claustrophobia and creepy feeling to it.
Yeah, man. You ever play Silent Hill 4 and you take the kid's bear and you let all the hauntings come on in your apartment? Man, that shit gets scary as hell.
Yeah, they chase you into your bedroom and all that stuff.
There's like this little figure in the closet, and like there's like a voice in the phone that's like, "I'm always watching you." And like I sleep in my basement, and like right next, and like the closet door was right next to my bed, and I like see this little thing in there.
That sounds super scary. I'm not ever gonna play that game now.
You can go to watch that. It's like terrifying.
That's actually how I played Silent Hill 4. I just watched YouTube videos of it because I didn't want to play that game.
Yeah, that's how I played Silent Hill Downpour, is I just watched some guys Let's Play for like an entire day, like a loser.
very familiar with that scenario. I also was watched some Let's Play stuff, and I think I watched some of Downpour. I know I watched all of Silent Hill 4, but I knew I couldn't continue that series like after 2. 2 was awesome, but, you know, I threw my controller way too much. It was getting too real.
Yeah,
too real for me. To finish up the list, we got the uglies. My ugly for this year in sequels is Red 2. I never saw Red 1, which was about retired assassins. I think it was based off of a graphic novel and starred Bruce Willis and some other folks. I want to say Helen Mirren.
Yeah, she's in there, I think.
Malkovich. So we have like, sorry?
Malkovich is there.
Right, Malkovich was in it as like a kind of disoriented or crazy bomber type. Like on the side of the good guys, if you want to say the good guys, one of the central characters, but kind of out there character. And it was one of those movies I thought looked interesting. Like I thought it was an interesting concept because they managed to make it look fresh, even though it was talking about retired hitmen. And I never got around to seeing it. And I really don't know anybody who did. So it's odd that they're actually doing a sequel to this.
Yeah, I'm completely unfamiliar with this movie or its predecessor.
I know that Kevin from Junk Food Dinner saw it, and I wish that I had the Well, This Is Kevin drop queued up, but I don't, so I really regret that in life. That's one that's gonna go to my grave.
That's it. That's gonna be on your tombstone. I really wish I had that Kevin sound queued up.
Yeah, and then on my tombstone, you'll be able to push a big red button, and when you push it, it says, Well, This Is Kevin.
Even though clearly it says Parker.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, this is Kevin. They got the graves confused.
It'll confuse people. My ugly movie is Smurfs 2. Not only is it absurd for there to be a Smurfs 2 in the world, but the picture I saw from this and like everything about it is that Smurfette comes across these two guys who are sort of like Smurfs, but different. And they're called the Naughties. And one of them has, like, black hair with blue streaks in it, and the other one is, like, you know, wearing, like, some Birkenstocks, and he's got, like, a goatee and, like, a beanie. And it's obviously sending kids the message that if you're cool, then you're naughty. And I think that's bullshit, and I don't care for this.
Yeah, you described, like, a blue hippie.
Yeah.
Yeah, when have Birkenstocks been cool? That's my question.
Well, I'm saying as far as the Smurf world goes, like, I wouldn't hang out with a human wearing Birkenstocks and a beanie, but if I was, like, a Smurf, and, like, all I could hang out with was, like, Brainy Smurf and all these, like, fucking dickheads like that, I would certainly want to hang out with the Naughties instead.
Oh, I see.
Understand.
I mean, who wants to hang out with Handy Smurf? Or, like, that Smurf who's, like, always giving everybody, like, kisses and stuff? Fuck that guy.
It's like those dudes with the free hug signs.
Yeah, yeah. I hate those guys. So I would certainly want to hang out with the Naughties.
Also, interesting fact, the casting for this movie is exactly the same as Machete Kills.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. It's not exact, but there is Sofia Vergara. She's in this film.
Ah, yeah.
And Katy Perry, Lady Gaga's bizarro version of herself. Fake. And Christina Ricci.
Yeah.
I know she's in this.
Katy Perry is just fake Lady Gaga. And they're like, we can't come up with a good facsimile for Lady Gaga's exquisite butt. And then somebody was like, throw some boobs on this one then. And they're like, all right, we got a reasonable facsimile going. What is your ugly, Greg?
My ugly, and I may have taken too many liberties as a guest, but mine is a remake, and it's The Evil Dead. And, which was literally, this movie looks really ugly and evil and gross. And I think it looks kind of cool. I'm optimistic about it.
I am too.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Please go ahead.
I've been excited about this since Bruce Campbell gave the thumbs up. And, like, anything that guy does is, well, first of all, it's flawless. I mean, Frisco County, Burn Notice, Briscoe County Jr., I mean, and Burn Notice are even tolerable with his presence in it. And even though he's just saying, like, yeah, go see it in kind of a half-assed fashion because he's bound to make a buck or something off of it, like, he really doesn't care. It's still a vote of confidence, I guess.
Oh, no, man. He's been pretty vocal about how sweet this movie is and all the stuff I've read.
Oh, has he? Yeah, I just caught, like, a sound bite, I guess, of him. Somebody had posted in an Onion article or something like that. I just figured it was something kind of blasé. But if he's really excited, then that's even more meaningful. And, yeah, like Greg said, this looks gritty, ugly. Not in a gritty, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake sort of way. Like, it's kind of expanding on what Raimi was doing with, like, bloody light bulbs and stuff.
Yeah, it's visceral. Like, chick licking the blade of the knife, like, ugh. And it's just dark and evil. And, if it sucks, you know, you still got Evil Dead. It's not like they destroyed it. So, it'd be cool to see it, like, with a more evil filter on it, or... aren't they doing it, like, it's all updated now? Like, it's all totally, like, modern, like...
I think so, yeah, like...
Yeah.
It takes place now. And, like, I guess the plot of it is that, like, one of their friends is addicted to drugs, so they take her to the cabin to get her clean. And so, like, nobody takes their phones because they're, like, trying to get away from everybody, and that explains how they don't get help or whatever. Which is a nice touch. I'm sick of people holding their phones up to the sun and going, oh, I don't have reception. What the fuck? So I'm glad they came up with something better than that. Although I guess, like, you could call as many cops as you want, and it's not really going to help you from Evil Dead. Like, that could help you if you're in The Hills Have Eyes calling cops, but not really if you're in the Evil Dead.
Yeah, and also they're like way out in the woods in this remote cabin. So, like, even if they had space phones and stuff, like, I don't think they'd work.
That's probably true. Yeah, I think this looks real good. I was excited at first, just because I'm always excited and optimistic for remakes, and then they let me down hard. But then I got not excited after seeing the first trailer, and now that the Red Band trailer is out, I'm stoked on it. I think it looks great. And one of the dudes from the show Girls is in it. And that's the best show ever. So count me in.
Which dude is that?
I don't know. He was on it for like one episode or something. He's like not very in it.
Hey, how do you like Chris O'Dowd on that show? He was in he was also in the IT Crowd.
Who is that?
He's the British-sounding guy, or Irish-sounding guy, I mean.
I don't know.
The hairdresser, I think?
He must be a very small part. I don't remember him.
Okay.
But I can assure you that I would think he sucks.
He's Irish, though. Irish people don't like England.
That's true. I don't really care for the Irish, because they're always like, oh, you know, St. Patrick's Day is so cool, even though it sucks. But the enemy of my enemy is my friend. That's why I like the French now. So I guess it's probably why I should like the Irish, because they don't like the British, so.
You said that French people suck earlier when I mentioned Quebec.
And the French early in the podcast.
No, I'm talking about the French Canadians suck, is what I meant. They're rude as shit.
This is heartbreaking.
Like, they like dumb music.
You know French Canadian blood runs like a mighty Canadian river through my veins.
I don't know. I think the day that you moved to Arkansas, all that French blood just came out of your pores and went away. Floated away. I don't think it's possible.
I don't know.
It's not possible to live in Arkansas and have French Canadian blood.
I guess.
It came out of your pores like a detoxing alcoholic.
I think it was replaced with old school Louisiana Purchase French blood. Like from Louisiana?
Yeah.
They borrow a lot from there.
Now you've got that Creole blood.
Yeah, that's why I can't stop listening to accordion music, like Zydeco.
Yeah.
I can't stop talking about how great Mardi Gras is all year long.
I appreciate that box of crawfish that you sent me as well.
No problem. There's more on the way. Also, my favorite X-Men is Gambit. And I can't stop watching The Big Easy, Popeye's Chicken. That's my link back to my homeland, because they do it Louisiana style. Huh?
Tackle Box.
Got it? Tackle Box, yeah. Yep. It's a great time. I can't do a Louisiana accent. It keeps sounding like Al Pacino.
Well, I like me some spicy food.
Al Pacino was in the movie Jack and Jill, which is a comic masterpiece.
That actually sounds like a great meta concept, by the way. Doesn't he just play himself?
Yeah.
In love with Jill.
Yeah, he falls in love with Jill.
Sounds ridiculous. Jesus Christ, what a mess.
Oh, well, now it's time for the lightning round.
And now
it's time
for the lightning round.
Up first on the lightning round, Lupe Fiasco reportedly kicked off stage at the inauguration party he was at.
I don't know much about Lupe Fiasco, but I think this is great. He apparently went on a huge tirade, I guess, about how he doesn't like the president. And I think that anytime you're invited to, like, hang out and, like, celebrate somebody, and then you insult that person, like, that's kind of cool. I'm kind of into that.
Which part are you into? Just the entire event?
Not just...
Or the fact that somebody is like, hey, thanks for inviting me, so here's some bullshit about you that I don't like.
Yeah, I like that.
Off.
I like that part.
This is why you don't get invited to a lot of parties.
I know, I do this a lot. I'm always like, hey, thanks for inviting me to your cool, what are those stupid parties that I don't like? Potlucks. Thanks for inviting me to your vegetarian potluck, hippie friends. Now let me tell you
like
about...
Like midway through that sentence, you're already unbuckling your belt to drop trow and take a dump in the middle of the floor.
That's true. And I'm pulling out all these statistics I printed out about how when the machines that harvest the grain for their vegan breads, like, do their work, they kill a bunch of snakes and mice and stuff, making them hypocrites.
Oh, that's your favorite. So, yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You get invited to people's places, you're like, this is a really nice house. By the way, let me tell you all the ways I think you're a hypocrite.
That's surprisingly accurate, yeah.
Upon this knowledge, Greg, would you still invite Parker to, like, any sort of social function?
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Thanks for the shirt, Greg. Here's what I...
I short shorts parties.
I would go to a short shorts party. I got nice legs.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
I didn't know you had nice legs. Hey, I've never seen you wear short shorts.
Well, I don't like to wear short shorts, but they are beautiful legs nonetheless.
Yeah, you'd be the belle of the ball.
Yeah, see?
How do you like I've been missing out now.
How do you like that, Mr. Frisbee? Not only am I invited to a party, but I'm the belle of the ball. I know you put that in your pipe, Mr. Frisbee.
Is this some kind of Goodwill Hunting thing that you're doing with me now? How do I like these apples?
How do you like these apples, Frisbee? How do you like the fact that I've been seeing Robin Williams on the side for a while?
I don't care about Robin Williams. I don't know what a short, short party is. I've never seen your beautiful legs.
Why we should be video chatting right now, dudes.
Yeah, man. I would
absolutely
show you those legs.
Yeah.
I'll take a picture later. I got, like, pretty nice calf muscles, you know?
I don't know. I have never... You've always worn Junko jeans. Like some sort of juggaloo.
That's true. Well, I wear them because it's easy... You know, I used to pick up the alternative free paper in town. It's easy to fold it over and stick it into those huge back pockets. It was really convenient.
Yeah, I mean, I used to wear those back in the day, and I could fit an entire binder in my back pocket.
Yeah, dude, that was so convenient.
3-ring binder I could fit in the back. Do you remember, like, the crime scene ones with, like, the 80-inch seam?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Kids wearing, like, denim skirts and shit. That was wild.
Yeah, I had some of those. I traded my friend Doobie. I gave him 2 live Ramones albums for a pair of sweet jeans like that. It's the greatest deal.
Those were like $80 back in the day. They weren't cheap.
Yeah, I know. My parents would barely take me to like Goodwill to buy me clothes, so it was like a real victory for me to finally have jeans.
A real We Are the Champions moment for you.
Yeah, that right.
Well, shit. Yeah, I didn't know this was a thing with you. And if it's a short shorts party, I think you are obligated now to be to show up in tube socks and roller skates.
Oh, big time. I would love
to. Can you skate? Can you roller skate? Can either of you roller skate?
I can't roller skate.
I can't either.
I've roller skated a little bit in my day. Not a lot. I had roller blades, though.
Yeah. Around the same time that I was rocking the JNCO jeans, I had the soap shoes, and that was the closest I ever came.
Are those the shoes that have the roller skates inside of them?
No, yeah, it was before those. It was the ones that had the grind plate on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Those were Yeah, you were the bell of the ball. Yeah, those back in 99, 2000s.
Yeah, I think my friend Jano had those, and he would be excited for them for when we would go in freestyle walk, which is what that's what they called parkour back before it got all cool. It was just called freestyle walking, which makes it sound pretty lame. I'm glad they renamed it to parkour.
Yeah.
Because you can take all the credit now.
Yeah. Me. Parkour. Bowman.
The French pronunciation of parkour.
Parkour.
Well, next on the lightning round, we have some pretty excellent news. Invasive body scanners will be removed from airports. I don't fly that often, but when I do, I don't really like when people get an anatomical description of my body in some sort of H.R. Geiger creepy-looking black and white silhouette. It's weird. They're weird, weird devices, and I don't know, wholly unuseful and unnecessary.
I agree. I think these are the worst. I think it's, who are you saving? Who on earth is strapping explosives to their anus hole or the scrotum dick? Like, I mean, it's not helping anybody. All it's serving to do is, get people who make $9 an hour to be able to look at your dick all day and laugh. That's all these do. And I love in this story, it says, it became clear to the TSA that they would be able to be unable to meet our timeline for updating the system. So as a result of that, we terminated the contract for the convenience of the government. Oh, God bless the government. I'm so glad that they could be convenienced when it comes to this matter of, these machines that show off everybody's dick and pussies. Oh, God bless them. I'm so glad that they're not inconvenienced by this thing that shows off literally millions of people's dicks every day. Good for you. I don't want you to experience any inconvenience, government.
Yeah, and what you didn't know is all of those images that were taken are being uploaded to a Tumblr.
Yes. It's called secretdicks.com.
And then all the uncircumcised guys and girls with dinner plate nipples get uploaded.
And then another subset actually makes slash fiction between them. Dinner plate nipples ran into uncircumcised. Oh, I didn't know you were flying to Florida. Are you going to Boca Raton? It's going to be a long flight. Yeah, I'm not as fervent, I guess, but the sentiment is the same. I actually agree with you on that point. It's a weird, like, TSA is, to my knowledge, not popular. Like, nothing is going to be popular that holds up people getting from point A to point B and is largely like not very trusted and kind of pushed aside anyway. Like $9 an hour? Yeah, if they're lucky. So on their end, I'm sure they're not really enjoying their position either. Like just trying to get a job. So it's really fucking weird that last line. As a result of that, we terminated the contract for the convenience of the government. That's a really weird choice of words to me. Like, they couldn't just come out and say, this wasn't working, so to better passenger flow through or whatever. Like, to do their jobs better. This seems like a interesting cry for appeasement from government funding for them. So I don't know. Like, are TSA doing poorly or what? Like, they were hot after 9/11. They were a hot commodity. Now it's kind of like people are like, this really sucks. I mean, you didn't, you weren't really able to prevent 9/11 in the first place. So whatever you prevented now, I doubt is you, probably more like a central intelligence agency or something else, like illegally wiretapped phones or something.
Yeah. The only thing they're preventing now is me being able to keep my dick secret.
which is a playful secret.
You got that right. It's one of the secrets I like to keep closest to the vest.
Like your beautiful legs. Why wouldn't you share a gift like that with the world? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I mean, I'm sure the TSA has pictures of my beautiful legs. I'll see if I can get them for you.
They look H.R. Geiger creepy, though. Like, it'll be your beautiful legs next to, like, some sort of sexual alien or something.
That sounds nice.
Ugh.
Yeah, these pictures are wicked creepy. Like, this story has the pictures of what it looks like when you go through the scanner. And man, like, it leaves nothing to the imagination. I mean, it's just showing your whole naked body. This guy, he's turned around so that you can see his butt and stuff, but then you can also see his dick hanging down and his scrotum and stuff. And like, that's like, I don't want anybody to ever see something like that. If anybody ever sees my scrotum hang down from behind me, like, that's it. I'm done with being alive. Like, that's the least thing I want in life.
The best was actually going through Philadelphia's airport. Philadelphia is an interesting town in a lot of ways. And they said no again and again and again to these body scanners. So it was a fucking relief to be able to travel with some modicum of self-respect. Be like, oh, great. So no one's going to look at my dick and balls today. That's nice.
Yeah, this is actually...
So good on Philadelphia. Awesome place.
Yeah, there are a lot of places in Texas, I think, that were trying to get rid of this, too.
The guy in the picture looks pretty cut, though.
Yeah, he's ripped, right? Small dick, though. Pretty small.
I wasn't going to write it.
You think, like, the TSA guys that kind of give you, like, a little wink when you walk through?
I think that'd be the most interesting thing for this. Like, if you're planning on taking a trip, just go in with a massive erection. And
wink at the TSA guy.
Yeah, wink at them before they wink at you. Ask them, like, what you see.
Take Viagra
first.
You
might get arrested, but whatever.
Yeah, I would go for the pat-down, though. Like, I would like to take a bunch of Viagra and then ask for the pat-down. I think that would be pretty good. But then I guess, like, for some reason, that's less invasive to me. Is like forcing some guy to touch my hard dick than like some guy's looking at pictures of my H.R. Geiger naked body. I would feel less violated by that. Probably because at that point I would be doing the violating, I guess.
Yes.
Check closer to my dick hole. That's where I keep the bombs.
Gross.
Or have a top of your boner.
I keep them right on the top of the boner. Use two fingers.
Anything helps.
Speaking of using two fingers, a blast at African sorcerer's house kills five.
Oh, nice segue.
Thank you. Police in Zimbabwe say they're investigating a massive explosion at a tribal sorcerer's house outside the capital, Harare. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But obviously, we can easily assume that the blast, the explosion, was a magic missile that went astray.
Or a frost nova. If the African sorcerer looks anything like the sorcerer from Diablo, which is immediately what I pictured.
Yeah. Then we're in good hands. We don't have to worry about the Diablo monsters.
Yeah.
That's true. I'm so excited that we still, and I mean, we talk about stories like this every once in a while, but I'm still so excited that we live in a world where sorcerers exist. In a time where, like, another news story that came out this week was that scientists are looking for some lady to carry the embryo of a Neanderthal, because, like, they found some Neanderthal DNA. And we live in a world where that happens, but we also live in a world where sorcerers blow up half of a village. I just love it. I love it. I love this world.
With that wily stag of a twig.
Yeah, this is, it's pretty rad. I'm led to believe from this article that local authorities are kind of in on the joke of making these folks kind of dumbed down to believe that this is an actual thing that's possible. Because Army Bomb Disposal experts, so says the article, told neighbors they found no remnants of a bomb or petrol or gas containers. You know, impossible. There's obviously something. Like, if Sherlock were on the case, this would not be a case. He would know what it was. And
it would probably be tobacco ash, I'm guessing.
It would be some form of tobacco ash leading to the culprit who did this explosion, whatever it was.
It's always tobacco ash.
The neighbors told reporters they feared a lightning manufacturing process, which is rad. So if he's not a sorcerer, then he's a mad scientist, or I guess mad engineer, since mad scientists aren't really a thing. He's a mad engineer engineering some sort of giant Tesla explosive device. It's which would be awesome. I would like to see that follow-up story. Update, sorcerer. Not actually sorcerer. Mechanical maniac.
I love that this last paragraph says, In Zimbabwe, sorcerers can use lightning, common during current rainstorms, to eradicate enemies. What a world.
In Soviet Russia, enemies eradicate you, because you think you're a sorcerer.
That's true.
I like that this, zing.
I like that this news comes from news.com.
Well, that's how you know it's news.
Yeah.
Australia doesn't beat around the bush. This is .com.au, right?
Mm-hmm. You can tell that it's an Australian website as well, because next to the sidebar where it says today's top stories, the headline is Crikey.
That's authentic Australian.
Yep.
Next up, we have Lego being accused of racism with Star Wars set. The Austria's Turkish community said the model was based on the Hagia Sophia Mosque in Istanbul, and that the accompanying figures depicted Asians and Orientals as people with deceitful and criminal personalities. So it sounds like Turkey finally got around to watching the Star Wars films.
Yeah, where everything is racist.
Yeah. Yeah, even in the remake, in the earlier chapters, like in Star Wars Episode 1, isn't that like that flying creature who owns Anakin, who's like very stingy with his money, and has a giant nose, and speaks with a Hasidic accent?
And lives in the desert?
What the hell was that all about?
It's racism.
Yeah, well, right. Going back to the earlier discussion about like early Star Wars, I mean, this was probably, well, no, this is part of new shit, isn't it? This isn't old school Star Wars.
I think it is, because Han Solo is there.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, so I think this is old. So, way for people to be upset about the old Star Wars that happened 50 years ago.
Oh, yeah, this is supposed to be from Return of the Jedi. But this wasn't even like the centerpiece. Like, if you're going to be upset about anything, you have to be upset about Boba Fett bumping and falling into the one thing that he's supposed to avoid in the entire desert.
Mm-hmm. The one guy in the original Star Wars who could fly falls into the big sand monster.
Yeah, he bumps the Sarlacc pit. He bumps his fucking amazing technology jetpack, and it just shuts off like a shitty handheld or something, and falls into that one specific spot. He's like, all right, I can land on any of the sand around this one spot, but if I fall in here, I'm probably dead. Plus, he's got shit on his heart. I mean, this was all pretty well exemplified by Cracked.com, I'd like to point out, but still, it bears repeating. That fucking guy had a blowtorch on one arm, a rocket on the other. He can't take down this slow-moving slug that's kind of like a Jonah and the whale scenario. Like, even if he does get swallowed in, he's not dead. He's a bounty hunter. He has to deal with this shit all the time. It's very infuriating. Yeah, Turkish community, please, if you're going to be upset about anything, get upset about all the giant plot holes in that film.
Plus, I think if you squint your eyes and look at this thing, it kind of looks just as much like a Taco Bell.
That is true.
Yeah. It's like a Taco Bell that's been renovated to a dentist's office or a tax refund place.
It's even got the Spanish tiles on top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got the turks to soak you in a Baja Blast. The drive-through just squirts it right into your mouth.
That's right, yeah. That's what those are for. Or for overly processed nacho cheese. Yeah.
The thing I love most about this story is that it says, blah, blah, blah. The Turkish community said that this figure depicts Asians and Orientals as people, blah, blah, blah. And Orientals is, you're not supposed to say that. That's racist.
That's oh, like, yeah, Orientals is racist now, right?
Yeah, you know, that's not the correct thing to say.
No, they are from the Orient.
Yeah, I don't understand why it's not the right thing to say, but it's not. So I think it's weird when you're doing your press release saying, oh, this thing is so racist. This, you know, we looked at this toy and we found it to be so racist, especially towards chinks. I just didn't care for it one bit. That's basically what these guys are saying.
Isn't that they still make a ramen, like a packaged instant ramen that's Oriental flavored.
Well, you can have Oriental flavors. You just can't call people Oriental.
But what if they taste Oriental?
Yeah, if
like
you
they have
eat
an Oriental flavor to them.
If you cook a person and eat them and you add Oriental spices, then I guess you could call that person Oriental at that point.
Yeah, maybe you can refer to Oriental as in flavoring. Like, you can have, like, one non-sexual fuck in a PG-13 movie.
I was going to make a comparison. Like, there's American cheese, and I'm an American, but I really don't want to be associated with American cheese as it is. That's gross stuff.
Oh, that's good on tuna melts, Frisbee.
Mm-hmm. Good on grilled cheese.
Can't do cheese anymore. I'm done with cheese, dogs. Man, done.
I can't believe that. Even Pepper Jack?
Believe it. Even Pepper Jack.
It's a good cheese.
I know it, man. I can't do it anymore. I'm not doing cheese. All right.
What if Turkey's just trying to keep the heat off of this Hagia Sophia mosque? Because, like, buried underneath it is, like, the bones of, like, an ancient rancor.
That would be fucking awesome.
I would like
yeah,
that.
This makes so much more sense now.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect placement. It's just, yeah, we'd be totally backing off the subject. Okay, you're right. Yeah, this is Lucas talking. Or I guess Disney now. You're right, that's totally insensitive. Here's some compensation. Forget it. We'll just leave it be. We're going to edit it out of all the old films when we re-release these Star Wars trilogies to upset our fans even more. So, yeah, secret safe.
In their Illuminati-like secret society to keep the Rancor at bay for another 1,000 years.
So much more sense now. Last up on the lightning round, a cosplaying comedian says no to marijuana. Sakura Saki Inagaki isn't your typical comedian. She actually dresses as Asuka Langley from Neon Genesis Evangelion. Parker, you know what this is.
I do. I like it.
So could you indulge us about what the story is? Because I'm not super familiar. I've only seen one movie, I think.
Oh, well, I'm not sure. You being the resident person from Japan, I was hoping you could shed some light on it. But apparently this girl is a comedian who dresses up like Asuka.
I was just talking about Evangelion. Like, I don't know what Evangelion is. It's robots or it's not robots?
Yeah, it's...
They're powered by emotions, right?
Yeah, they're powered by emotions. They're robots. They're these robots that people had to make after the end of the world because God is using angels to attack the Earth, so you need big robots to fight them, basically. And Asuka is one of the pilots of said robots.
Now, redhead, correct?
Yes. She's German.
But cosplaying lets you be whoever you want to be. And the joke here is that Sakura Saki is a comedian, and usually in Japan there are all these characters that they do. When I was in Japan, there was a comedian who was actually a wrestler first named Hard Gay, or Hardo Gayo. It became Hard Gay. He would come out like in leather short shorts, a leather vest, like a biker hat and giant shades and this trimmed goatee. And he was just very animated and energetic and extremely positive. And he would hump everything to the tune of Livin' La Vida Loca. I don't think Sakura Saki does all that, but from what I did manage to find out about her, she's supposed to be like a Comic-Con sort of cosplayer, or I guess cosplaying is kind of like a community thing in Japan now. So you go out and you dress up as one of your favorite manga or anime characters, and you're golden. People dig it and want to take pictures with you. If you're in the city, what she does is that she like travels out to the country and just makes people who aren't familiar with cosplay scenes or people dressing up in these crazy outfits, like she has this giant red wig on, makes them feel uncomfortable. And she makes all these sort of geeky otaku comments, like nerdy comments and stuff, as she's dressed up. So she shows up in this cosplay outfit that I just mentioned, bright red hair, cartoonish looking uniform, and she's got her arms crossed in a pouty face, kind of like a no, I don't like that sort of thing. And she's saying no to marijuana and pot because there are very strict pot laws, anti-pot laws in Japan. No one really deals with pot too much.
Yeah, this is all hugely surprising to me. That one, comedians there can just dress up like characters from TV shows. Like, that's weird. That would be like if there was a comedian here who, you know, just dressed up like Darth Vader and told jokes. And two, it's weird that a place where you can buy used panties in a vending machine would care whether or not you used marijuana.
Yeah, hear, hear.
It's very bizarre to me. And it's especially weird that a comedian who, like, when you think about comedians here in America, like, they kind of go against the grain of everything, or are supposed to, you know, historically. So it's weird that a comedian would stand up and be like, yeah, man, you don't want to try this marijuana. You don't want to try this thing that would make me 10 times funnier. Stay away from that. Like, everything about this is weird to me.
Yeah, that is like seems like a culture that could probably benefit from some weed, right? Keep the suicide rate down.
Chill those dudes out a little.
Seriously.
Make the tentacle prawn way less violent.
Those tentacles will chill a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Just make care less.
Yeah. It would prevent the Dragon Ball Z guys from screaming so much. Yeah.
So when you were in Japan, was there any drug use around?
No, nothing. And nothing that I saw. Like, people just got, you just get shit-faced with your friends.
That's
drinking.
Wild. Because you were, like, in what, like, your early 20s in a college setting. I would expect that would be, you know, ground zero for drugs. But even there, you saw nothing.
No, didn't see a thing. No coke, no acid, and definitely no pot.
What the world.
But it was different in a lot of ways because, like, you know, beer and cigarettes, you can get street access to that stuff. Like, you don't need to have a go-between. They have vending machines for beer and cigarettes next to each other.
That's outstanding.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I like that.
So I guess that's the counterpoint to it. It's like they don't really have a lot of access to pot or illicit drugs, but they're pretty free to do whatever they can get their hands on, like if they have a few yen or something.
Yeah, and I bet that even, like, with the people who would want to do drugs there, especially, like, weed and stuff, like, it's probably, like, next to impossible, it being, like, such a small island surrounded by, like, people who are probably a lot more strict about everything than they are. It's probably so impossible to get high in Japan.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so. I know that was something that was, like, asked to us when we were over there, like, oh, have you ever tried pot? Have you ever smoked pot? And they were extremely curious about, like, American lifestyle and thinking that that was such a regular thing. And, I mean, I'm such a fucking teetotaler. Like, I didn't know how to answer them. It's like, it's, yeah, all the time. It's like a Cheech and Chong movie. And you have to explain who Cheech and Chong are.
And, and then you told them, you're like, Shinji's not here, man.
Goku's not here, man. Yeah. Yeah, it's, and with the comedian thing, it's strange that, like, there'll be comedians who do characters like this. Like, Hard Gay was extremely popular. Extremely popular. And
for good reason.
Yeah, yeah. And this girl, I'm sure she's extremely popular to that degree. She's actually got a travel log going in Europe. Like, she's backpacking across Europe as this character. And they're just filming her interacting with Europeans as this otaku nerd cosplayer who's into Evangelion. And it's not just that. Like, comedians will do like certain voices, or they'll just have a catchphrase, like one catchphrase, and that's it. Or they do a silly dance, and that's it. It's not like, I mean, it's a kind of a completely different beast than here, where, like, in Western culture, you'll have, like, stand-up or improv or a sketch comedy or experimental comedy.
Or the shitty comedy where, like, you tell really lame jokes that wouldn't get a laugh normally, but because you're, like, Bo Burnham and you're playing piano, all of a sudden it's very funny.
Well, see, I guess, like, for musical comedians, that might be the closest thing to, like, Japanese comedy, because it's a rote thing. Like, comedians kind of have to experiment with how they deliver stand-up, at least. They'll experiment with how they deliver a joke, Improv, it's different every time. There's a lot more chaos there. But when somebody like Bo Burnham goes to the piano, he's hitting those notes the exact same way and doesn't have a lot of wiggle room. I mean, at least not as much as like a person doing stand-up who pauses differently. They rehearse, but it's like, shit, man. He's just a musician.
Speaking of different cultures and the things they find funny, my mind was completely blown off of my face the other day. I was watching the Telemundo, as I do sometimes, even though I don't speak Spanish or know anything about it. Like, it's just fun to watch sometimes. And apparently the bee guy from The Simpsons is based on a real fucking dude.
Really?
Yeah, he's like some dude that like everybody knows and loves. And he's like just some bee guy. He's like some guy, at least in the episode I watched, he's like some guy's butler. And it was his job to clean the house and everything, but he just kept making it more and more messy. It was very hilarious. But it was just shocking that that guy's a real guy. He's a bee for no fucking reason. Like, there's nothing in the story about how he was a bee. Like, he was just a butler who happened to be a bee. He was nuts.
Yeah, people listen to animals, man.
I guess so.
That's true.
Just want what's best for you.
Or maybe he's a furry. Maybe he's the first furry.
That's true. He was hanging out with a guy dressed as a pony, too, who I assume was his brony friend.
Yeah, yes.
And I found his DeviantArt.
There's a Tumblr page.
Oh, and, yes, there is.
And I bet there's slash fiction between that pony guy and the bee man.
I'm sure of it.
There has to be.
It's very sexual.
It is very sexual. They're already dressed up as animals. What else are you going to do besides parade around, you dangus?
Hey, faggos! Do you remember message boards? I know I do, but that's because I'm an old man. Anyway, back in the past, on the internet, they'd use these things called message boards. I know, sounds gay. And it was. But it was fun, and it was the best place to hang out on the internet. Well, there aren't message boards anymore. Now we have
Facebook groups.
Why am I telling you about this? Well, the Pod Awful channel, Pod Awful's network, has its own Facebook group, and all of the hosts from the Pod Awful channel are in it. You can talk to us directly. Pretend you're our friends. You can post neat messages to us. We'll respond to those and like them. And the best part is, it's all
a secret.
And it's free! If you're on Facebook, you should be a part of our group. Go to facebook.com/groups/podawfulchannel and request to join. I'll personally let you into the club. Go there today. Make a post. Impress us.
That's it. You're in our secret club. All right, Stimpy. They're okay. Show them the stuff.
Do it today!
All right. Well, I guess that's all the lightning round stuff. I guess that's the end of everything. Oh. Well, now that I've coughed, it's the end. So I would like to thank you, Greg, for joining us on this program.
Anytime.
Would you like to throw out any plugs for anything, like the place where you work or your Twitters or anything else?
Oh, yeah. HTBKicksAss.com. We got a lot of new shirts coming out and shirts in the store right now. Lots of, weird animal stuff. Now that we're on the topic of animals. And, some other shirts coming out. I was talking to my boss today about, because remember like the, Andre the Giant has a posse. We might be doing a shirt that says, Andrea the Giant has a pussy. So, be on the lookout for that one.
I like that one.
All right, there you go.
Sounds good. Yeah, go buy all those shirts. Buy the Junk Food Dinner shirt, especially. I'm biased, though, when I say especially. Which yeah. You can get. I think there's probably a link on you guys' site, but there's for sure a link on junkfooddinner.com. And it would be helpful for everybody involved. If every single person listening to this bought 10 shirts, I think that would probably be pretty standard, I think, if everybody bought 10 shirts each.
Why not?
Yeah.
If you don't wear clothes, you go to jail.
That's absolutely true. We're doing that movie next week on Junk Food Dinner. I'm excited.
Yeah.
So buy those shirts.
Those are my shirts. I've got a right to sell them.
You've never even been on Junk Food Dinner, Muhammad.
So bad, Muhammad.
Get real. You're not even on that shirt. On that
shirt. But he's from the East Coast, right?
Hey, I'm from New York.
That's what I thought.
That's true. So I guess that does give him sort of a right, since you guys are out of New York.
If you live near them, you own some stock. So that's just a general rule.
Oh, yeah, and I just want to plug Garden Fresh Rap from Rochester, New York. They're these two, white rapper guys, and they rap about water and cheap kicks and being polite to girls, and they're really, really funny. And if you look for like Garden Fresh on their MySpace or something, I'll send you guys their CD sometime because they're hilarious. But
sweet, yeah, I saw that video that you posted on the pool party page a while back. That was funny stuff.
That was like Tim and that thing is real. That's 100% real. They were on the news and they the house music wouldn't come up, and they had to rap really quietly, and they're like practically whispering, and they look super uncomfortable, and then the news lady gets behind them and starts doing this like white girl like the slash dance from like the human females on Warcraft, like this really goofy dance, and the whole thing, it looks like a Tim and Eric skit, and but check them out because I like them a lot, and Pete from that band is the one who got me the job at HTV, so thanks Pete.
All right, way to go Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess aside from that, check out poolpartyradio.com. That's where we have all of our episodes. You can only get the oldest of episodes on the website. But if you want the newest of episodes, you can go to iTunes or Stitcher. That's where we got all those new ones. And on iTunes, you can leave us reviews, which would be very nice. I know that Mr. Frisbee has a birthday in about 2 months, so if you want to give Frisbee a birthday present, you can do that by either giving him an actual present or
on Facebook.
Or a present on Facebook, or leaving an iTunes review. Your birthday is in like 2 months, right? I'm not horribly off, right?
Nope, you're spot on.
I thought so. So that would make for a great birthday present for Mr. Frisbee. You can also subscribe and stuff. You can also follow us on Twitter at Pool Party Radio and at Jason Frisbee and at Final Parker and,
Gotta do Podcat Bros shoutouts as well.
Yeah.
Badland Girls have been giving us quite a few shoutouts recently. I wrote an email to them after I got blizzarded in, so be sure to check that out. They comment on that. And, yeah, some of the finest ladies in podcasting. So check them out.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Love them.
Ilkhan Radio, they have a shirt also on Hide the Bodies. If you like Logical Contraption, you'll like this t-shirt. It's a great t-shirt.
And Pod Awful, of course, featuring Mr. Daddy. I don't know how you could forget about him. So listen to Pod Awful. Check out everybody on the Pod Awful channel, which is the network we're on with other comedy podcasts like Pod Awful and Awful Flicks, which I do with Jesse from Pod Awful on occasion. And by on occasion, I mean when people request it. So if you want more of that show, you got to let us know. And probably the best place to let us know is in the Pod Awful channel group on Facebook. So join that.
Yeah, what's going on with Awful Flicks? You got anything coming up? Because I watch those.
Yeah, not yet. We got a request to do the last one, and so we did it promptly. Somebody left Jesse a Facebook message like, do another Awful Flicks. And we did one like 45 minutes later. That's basically how that show works. So, we're both very busy with these other shows we do. So basically we just do it when people tell us that they want it done.
Tokyo Gore Police.
Is it on Netflix?
Yes, it is.
Will we have to read subtitles?
No. I don't think so.
I don't think so. Yes. But you can probably do dubbing.
Never mind.
Then that would work. It would be bad for us talking over the movie if we had to read everything first. And also,
it's very visually stunning. They do not let up on that name. It's pretty much wall-to-wall gore.
I do like that idea. I've heard good things about the movie, but I haven't seen it. So, request more Awful Flicks if you like it. And if you don't like it, then just listen to the show and Pod Awful, because that's basically what that show is without the movies. We'll be back next week. Until then, this is Parker for Greg and Jason Frisbee saying thanks for having fun.